Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing? Good. Like a little excitement, okay? It's okay to interject. My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach Community Church, and I am very grateful for your presence this morning. And we've been in a series. This is actually week four. We have three more weeks after this called Written in Red. Kind of the gist of it is that there is one central figure that we adore, that we love, that brings us to the place where we can actually worship God and have and enjoy His presence, and His name is Jesus. And so we thought it would be very worthwhile for us. I mean, well, actually, it's going to be even longer than that because our Sermon on the Mount series is really written in red too, but it's going to be a little bit different. But this idea that there's power in the words of Jesus. And if we're going to focus on something, we started off this series talking about the temptation of Christ and His usefulness of the word. Like, He could have exerted His force against the enemy. He could have physically tackled Satan and like rubbed his face in the dirt, but all He did was use the power and authority of the written word. And so we want to empower you guys to hear, to believe, and be transformed by the living word. And so today, for those that have their Bibles with them, we're going to get there in a little bit if you like to kind of get there before everybody else. We're going to be in Mark 4, talking about the parable of the sower. But here's the idea. The idea is listening and hearing are two different things. If you've been married for more than a minute, you will understand that hearing and listening are two different things. Stephen Covey actually said this. He said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. I mean, the problem is we hear. Unless you have something genetically going on with your ears, or you've had a condition that you've had loss of hearing, if you have ears and they work, you hear. The issue is that there's a large portion of us that don't listen. And so I have, just to kind of lighten up, I have a couple little illustrations. And I like just to convey this idea that as much as we think we hear and listen, a lot of times we don't do this. And this first one is kind of comical. And so the story is one day an old man was casually walking down a country lane with his dog and his mule. I don't know why, but he is. Suddenly, a speeding truck careens around the corner, knocking the man, his mule, and his dog into the ditch. The old man decided to sue the driver of the truck, seeking to recoup the cost of the damages. While the old man was on the stand, the counsel for the defense cross-examined the man and asked him a simple question. He said, I want you to answer yes or no to the following question. Did you or did you not say at the time of the accident that you were perfectly fine? And the man said, well, me and my dog and the mule were walking along the road, and the counsel of the defense said, stop. I ask you to tell me yes or no. Did you say that you were perfectly fine at the time of the accident? Well, me and my dog and the mule were walking along the road, and the defense attorney appealed to the judge and said, Your Honor, he said, this man is not answering the question. Could you please insist that he answer the question? And the judge said, well, he obviously wants to tell you something. Let him speak. And said, the man said, well, me and my dog and my mule were walking along the road, and this truck came around the corner far too fast and knocked us into the ditch. And the driver stopped, and he got out of his truck, and he saw my dog was badly injured. And he went back to his truck and got his rifle and shot it. When he saw that the mule had a broken leg, he shot it. And then he said to me, how are you? And I said, I'm perfectly fine. The truth is that we say lots of things that we don't mean, and we perceive lots of things that aren't what the other person intends. And we can understand that as it relates to the word the same way, that we can read it either through the lens of what it is, or we can read it through the lens of what we desire. Here's another little story. In the meaning, and this is kind of talking about the meaning of hear and listen, if you look them up in the dictionary, because there is the idea that they're very similar. Did you hear me? Are you listening? They sound very similar. To hear, as defined, is to perceive or apprehend by the ear. To listen is to hear something with thoughtful attention, to give consideration. Here's a little story. Many years ago, this person came across a comic in the newspaper, and it was a prime example of this. And even though he didn't have, I don't have the picture here, I've got some pictures I'm going to show you in a minute that are also funny. So look at this. It was a couple of different boxes. The first box showed a businessman ready at the doorway, getting ready to leave. And she turns to her husband and says in the dialogue box, "Honey, can you put a cap full of soap in each load?" Because she wanted to do laundry. And that's all I need you to do. It's so simple that a child can do it. The second panel shows the husband and the wife standing in front of the washing machine. Soap bubbles are foaming out of the top and down to the front, and they were standing in knee-high bubbles. And the wife had her hands on the hips, giving a disgusting look to her husband. And the husband has his baseball cap in his hand, and the dialogue box says, "You guessed it, honey, I used a cap full." Of course, at this point, you may be thinking, this is nothing to do with hearing or listening. For you guys that don't do laundry, a capful means the little cap that's on the detergent. Okay, one more and then we'll continue on. There was a Polish man. Anybody Polish? Okay, so it's not a Polish joke. We mean no derogatory thing about this. Okay, but just listen. A Polish man moved to the U.S. and he married an American girl. And although his English was far from perfect, they got along very well. One day he rushed to the lawyer's office and asked if he could arrange a divorce. And the lawyer said that getting a divorce would depend on the circumstances. And he asked him the following questions. "Do you have any grounds?" He said, "Yes, we have an acre and a half and a nice little home." "No, I mean, what is the foundation of your case? And he said, "It's made of concrete." He says, "I don't think you understand. Does either of you have a real grudge?" "No, we have a carport and we don't need a grudge." "I mean, what are your relations like?" "All my relations are still in Poland." "Is there any infidelity in your marriage?" And he says, "We have a high fidelity stereo and a good DVD player." "Does your wife beat you up?" He says, "No, I'm always up before her." "Why do you want a divorce?" "She's going to kill me." "What makes you think that?" "I have proof." "What kind of proof?" "She's going to poison me." She buy a bottle at a drugstore and put it on the shelf in the bathroom, and I could read, and it says, "Polish remover." I know it's a little cheesy, but it's funny. Right? Okay? But the truth is, and you can click over to our little pictures here, the truth is how we hear and how we listen is completely different. The first one says National Male Ear and Space Museum, and it says, "Wow, you really can't hear anything on this end." Okay, and the next one, and so the guy goes in to get a tattoo, and he tells the guy, "Hey, I want a dragon with some cool symbols underneath." And the tattoo artist writes, "A dragon with some cool symbols underneath" on his back instead of drawing the picture. And if you've been in a relationship, or if you have family, or if you've ever existed near or around people or worked with people, you can understand that how we hear determines a lot about how our relationships are. And the truth is, a lot of times we don't hear correctly. A lot of times we assume based on how we feel and what we experience what they're saying. We have a preconceived notation of what they mean by the words, by the tone of their voice, by what's been going on the day before. We put all of this meaning behind it. And I want to kind of propose that the parable of the sower would be better titled as the parable of the listener. How we listen, not hear, determines our future. Listening is more than having working ears on your head. It's more about having working ears on your heart. Truth can always be heard with the ear, but not always with the heart. See, the story that we're going to get here, the parable that Jesus is going to preach to the people that come to listen to him, everybody's going to hear the same thing. There's a great multitude that was there, so much so that he had to get on a boat to preach to them. And every single person there is going to hear the exact same words, and 25% of those are going to receive, grow, and produce fruit. So what happens to the rest? And so this is where I want to spend, and it's 20 verses, and we're just going to kind of talk through it. So if you're with me before we start and read the word, I'm going to pray. Dearly Father, it is by your grace and your mercy that we're here today. Lord, and your heart for us is not that we would be ever hearing but never perceiving, but your heart for us is that we would hear. And in hearing, Lord, we would be changed. Lord, we desire to be fruitful people. And Lord, I just acknowledge that if we don't hear, if we don't understand, then we'll never grow. We'll never produce fruit, and your kingdom will not see the growth that you desire. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us open ears and a soft heart this morning to hear the word that you have for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Mark 4, if you're there, it's actually going to be on the screen also, but I always encourage you to have your Bibles. It's good for you to know that I am not making this up. This is not the first word, just stories I robbed from somewhere else. This is the word. This is where our power is. And so chapter 4, verse 1 is where we're going to begin. It says, "Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and set it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land." See, Jesus is getting to the point. There is a fair amount of time that he spends in the synagogue, which is like in the church. He is going to what are his people. He is speaking the truth there. But it is coming to a point that he is not as welcome to preach in the synagogue, and so he takes it out on the road. So this is not just the religious people, this is the people that are gathering to see Jesus, this person, this miracle worker that they've heard about. And he was preaching to the common man. Verse 2, it says, "And he was teaching them many things in parables." Parables is story. "And in his teaching he said to them." See, a parable are stories with the purpose to get people to listen. See, really, none of the little stories that I told you prior to what I'm saying now have any defining change in your life. Like, you're not going to go, "Oh gosh, you know, my wife's really not trying to kill me because she has polish remover in her house." You know, you're not going to get transformed by those, but those are useful in getting your attention. They're useful in drawing attention to the point that I want to make through the word. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's telling a story that has, his is laced with truth, his is laced with power more than the laughter that came from mine. But he has purpose in these stories. See, people will get to listen, but understanding is not guaranteed. See, there's people that have spent their lifetime reading, opening the Word, and not seeing the life, not experiencing the life that God gives from it. In verse 3, he says what I think is the beginning of why I want to change it to the parable of the listener. He says, "Listen, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow." The importance here isn't necessarily the sower, it's
the receiver. See, this is one of Jesus' main point, that we are called to listen. He has created us to hear. There is an absence in us that is filled by His words. In verse 4, it says, "And He sowed, and He sowed. And some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on the rocky soil, where it did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away." There's the first two. On verse 7, "Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And the other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing a yield 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. There's a couple things to understand here. We in our modern age don't necessarily plant like they do. If you had a garden, you would not go and till up a section in your backyard and just throw seeds, but they would scatter seed. They would prepare the soil and they would scatter the seed. And that's part of the reason the seed haphazardly fail on some of the other areas, because they literally are taking the seed and they're spreading it out. And some's falling on the path, some's falling in the rocky soil, some's falling where the thorns are going to rise and choke it out. And then he says at the end of this, and he said to them, this is the end of what he's going to share with them. And then the next part of this is really what he's going to share in understanding through his disciples. In verse 9 it says, "And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear." He doesn't mean, because he's going to explain this, he doesn't mean that if you've got ears, you've just heard and now you understand. He's saying, if you have ears and if you have understanding, if you've listened, then hear this. In verse 10, it says, "When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables." Like, I love this. I think I can be honest enough with you here to say there's some things that I don't understand. There's some things that I just don't get. I would love to. I would love to read every verse and go, this is exactly what he intended. This is what he means. I don't have that understanding. And I love that those closest to Jesus didn't have that understanding either. They were as clueless. I think sometimes we miss an opportunity to connect with the Father because we feel like we don't understand and we're too afraid to ask for understanding. We're too afraid to admit that I don't get this, instead of going, yeah, I got that. That's kind of what the guy did who was going to do the laundry in his house. He's like, the wife said a capful. He didn't bring clarity. He didn't go, okay, what kind of capful? You know, even though it doesn't make any sense, then he'd pull out a baseball cap and fill it up with soap and put it in there. But he didn't clarify. Maybe he was afraid to think, she's shown me this one before, but I don't remember. I don't want her to know that I wasn't listening before, so I'm going to do this. Who knows what his reasoning was, but there was a point that he didn't ask for more information. He assumed and continued. And so in verse 11, he said, "And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables." In verse 12, and he's going to quote out of Isaiah. In verse 12 it says, "And so that they may indeed see and not perceive, and they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." See, Jesus wants to and will give understanding to his disciples. All they had to do and all that we have to do is ask. He actually says in John 17 later on, he says that later I'm going to go and it's going to be to your benefit. Now this is the disciples that spent every day with Jesus. We've not been in the proximity of the person of Jesus other than through his word. So, I mean, this is him saying, hey, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you this helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is what's going to give you meaning and understanding. And if we're a child of God right now, sitting in this chair, God has given us a deposit that will give us understanding of His Word. I mean, this, He desires that we would understand. He is not trying to confuse us. And part of what He's saying here is it's actually speaking from Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet that was going to speak to the people, and they were so callous
so hard-hearted, so unbroken, that regardless of what he said, they weren't going to listen. So he wasn't saying, hey, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to confuse them so they're not going to get it. He's saying in what the words that are coming out of his mouth, regardless of what they were, will never be perceived because of the condition of those that are listening. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want the truth. It's the same with the religious people of the day. They had been preparing for generations for the Messiah to come. And then when the Messiah came, they killed him. Because he did not fit the model, because their hearts had been so hardened by this religious pursuit that we will create a system that will draw us closer to God instead of God saying, hey, all I want you to do is come to me and I'll give you what you need. But they created a system of rules, and they allowed those rules to become their relationship. And that's how they know God. And when Jesus came and he said things that didn't fit into their system that they created, they didn't like it. In verse 13, and he said to them, and I love that he gives a little bit of rebuke. So it's not like he's like, he understands that they're a little hard-headed, but he's like, okay. And he said to them, do you not understand these parables? Like, come on, you're with me. And then he says, how then will you understand all the parables? So he's saying, like, this one's a simple one, guys. Like, this one is not really deep. You should understand this one. If you don't get this one, then you're not going to get the rest of them. And then he explains it. See, even his disciples at times don't listen. They heard, they didn't listen. In verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So the first path is literally those that are so hard-hearted, so foreign to the things of God, that when it's thrown, it bounces off. There's not any part of it that takes root in them, and the enemy just comes and takes it as it hits the ground. See, a hard and unbroken ground is the same as a hard and unbroken person. In verse 16, and these are the ones that are sown on the rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. See, the second group of people, they receive, I believe, part of the word. I think sometimes this could be, and this might be a touchy subject, I apologize. It's all right. It could be like the prosperity gospel. Like those that hear that, you know, receive Jesus and you get it all. If life is going to be good, all your relationships are going to be perfect, your bank account is going to increase, you're going to get nice cars, you're going to get nice houses, just say yes to Jesus, there it is. And they say yes to Jesus under those terms and conditions. And when those things don't happen, they're like, this is not what I signed up for. Because the truth is, if you have lived long with Jesus, is persecution, hardships will come. This is why God gave us James 1. This is why God gave us Romans 5. Because he understands that it will come. This is why it is so important that we not hear just the parts that we want to. The parts of, like, he gives salvation, he gives eternity with him. Yes, I want those. And then we ignore the aspect that he's saying, as long with Savior, I'm going to be Lord. There is no other option. And then in our concept of Lord is like, hey, I do what I want, you are there. You can be king as long as I get to live in my own little world. You can be king. Just don't interfere with mine. And a lot of that's the same in us. You know, God did not want us to have a partial understanding. 1 John, we talked about a couple weeks ago, he literally says at the end that I've written these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants us to understand
that Jesus, understanding Jesus partially, is almost like understanding Jesus none. Because two of the four have growth. And the danger is we can be these people that on the surface we learn to say the right things, to do the right things, to act like we should in church. And on the surface it looks like they're growing. Man, they're not cussing anymore. It looks like they're being nice to their wife. They're starting to give. Man, everything's good. But the truth is that two of the four, although there's growth, there's no fruit. Fruit is what determines who we are. You will know a tree by its fruit. If it does not produce fruit, it is not a fruit tree. Verse 18 says, "And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves to be unfruitful." See, the truth is, God will not allow us to have any other before Him. And what He's saying here is the world is going to try to deceive you that what they have. I heard the other day, I was listening to another sermon, and he was talking about something completely else. But he read a study that said 363 times a day, you're going to be martyred. 363 times a day, someone is going to tell you that what you have is not enough, and what they have is going to satisfy you, is going to fulfill you, it's going to make you whole. 365 days, 363 times a day. And that's the average. So you've got some people that are going way over that, some people that are going under. But the truth is everything is going to try to rob you of the joy that God has for you and the desires for things that aren't helpful. See, Jesus has a way and a method for us to experience Him completely. And we get to decide whether we want the things of this world, which we think will satisfy us, which when we're really honest, we understand that they won't. Like money, if you look at the top money people in the U.S., they have a higher statistical, the data is that they're more miserable than we are. I mean, you would think the more money, they're going to be happy because they're going to have all the things. The problem is there's no point that people that have what we consider a lot of money would say they have enough. Because it's deceitful. Like if I just had, and you've probably got a number in your head, hey, if we as a family made $10,000 more a year, we could breathe, we could give, life would be good. Problem is the same you that's wasting all the money that you're getting now, $10,000 less, is going to be the same you that's going to get that $10,000 extra and think. Some of you are already thinking what you want. Some of you have wish lists on Amazon. Maybe that's just me. I think my wish list is empty right now, so I'm living good. But the truth is that everything's going to come and try to rob you. And this is why it is very critical that we listen and not just hear, not just open this. Because the danger is that you may hear us talk about on Sunday that this is life. And you may go, well, if it's life, then I need to get in it. But you may look at it more as a task to be accomplished than the life that it gives. I mean, I'm as religious as anyone in this room. I grew up in traditional church, and there's a part of me that got broken, not because of the original church, but because of me, that interpreted what they were saying as like, do A, B, C, and D, and you're great. And some of that's like the word. So if I miss a day, if you're friends with me on YouVersion, and you notice that I haven't completed my reading plan in like 2 or 3 days, there's the religious part of me that's going on. God doesn't love me. Instead of looking at it like a task to be completed, a number to be checked off, and that's somewhat of the danger of a YouVersion app that has your reading plan on it, is it tells you what to read today, which is great, but it can also be like, I can check it off. Look at me. Because you know it goes out to your friends, and they go, Heath is read today. Godly man. That doesn't necessarily mean that, but it gives us the opportunity to look into the Word and allow it, if we will allow ourselves to be softened, it will take root and do what it does in verse 20. It says, "But those that were sown in the good soil are the ones that hear the word and accept it." Here's the crucial part of this, the listening part of this. You may read it and go, I believe. Pastor once said this, I think it was Rick Warren, he said that you only believe in the parts of the Bible that you do. So we can say, hey, we believe in the full authority of God, but if there's things that we are not accepting, I don't like that. It kind of messes with my freedom. Like, I don't like the idea of taking up my cross, denying myself. You know, I want to love Jesus and still do all the things that I want. And the truth is that if we hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Here's the great thing. In this economy, for the way that they did their growing method, a 10-fold growth would be good. 10-fold. And so he's speaking to people that understand, like we're thinking, they just get seed and they throw it out. You know, he's speaking to a people that understand exactly what he's talking about, because this is what they're doing for food. They understand how the garden works, and they understand that a 10-fold increase is amazing. And what he's saying, if you'll listen, if you'll accept it, the fruit that will come from that will be 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is from one kernel. The word says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it can produce nothing. This is what God desires. This is what God designed. Not that you would live miserable lives that are constantly bombarded by the world and that you would lose constantly, but that you would have a life that would be more than you could ever desire. More than you could ever have. And the truth is, at our best efforts, we might have a 10-fold increase of something in our life. But when God gets involved, there is a 30, 60, and 100-fold increase. God wants to give you abundance. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about like, hey, get saved today and your bank account's going to be full tomorrow. I'm talking about that God's going to give you something that is going to make your life what you've always desired. And the problem is that you have to get out of the way. So I've got a few questions for you that I want to kind of challenge you with as we go into our last song that we're going to do. But here these. How you listen will determine your life, your growth, and your fruitfulness. This is not a, don't answer this, but internally. How is your listening? How is your listening to what God says impacting you? Because how you listen will, based on this, will determine your life, your growth, and your fruitfulness. How you accept the word. Hear it, listen to it, accept it, and bear fruit. And this is the question that I feel like God's trying to get to His people. He wants. He didn't come here to live His life, to die on the cross so that we can live mediocre. His words, I came so that He could save the world. And His method for saving the world now is His church, using His people to deny themselves, to accept His word, to live by His word, and have a 30, 60, and 100-fold increase. So here's my next question. How are the ears of your heart? Not how are these ears. Can you hear what I've said? Have you understood what I've said? Has it stirred you? But how is the ears that are connected to the understanding that is deep within your soul? And here's my last question is, what is God speaking to you right now? So I'm going to invite our worship team up. And if you've never been here before, we always close with a full song, not because we want to keep you here longer, but so that you can respond. Because the truth is that hopefully something that I've said is stirring you. Hopefully somewhere in you, your desire to hear and listen and understand and accept the Word of God. Let it get rooted deeply in your life so that you can have this fruitful existence in the kingdom of God. Something in you, I believe, is stirring today. And the question is, what are you willing to do? And so there's a couple of things that we always address at the end of the service. It would be naive for me to assume that everyone in this room has said yes to Jesus, have turned their life and said, I am yours. I want you to be my Savior and Lord. So what I would like to do is part of this closing that if you've not accepted Jesus, the simplicity of it, here it is that you're rotten to the core. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not just you right now. Every single one of us in this room are rotten to the core. Have no ability in ourselves to save ourselves. No ability in ourselves to free ourselves from our bad habits. But Jesus came and did what we could not do. Lived in the flesh. A sinless life. Willingly went to the cross to pay the full penalty for your sin. And that all we have to do is acknowledge our sin, confess Jesus, and receive. Let that be rooted in you. And so if that's you today, if you've not had that experience, if you've not experienced the life that God gives, you can do it sitting in this room as this song, sitting, standing, kneeling, whatever, as this last song is going on, you can just say those words that, Lord, I know, we know. If you don't believe you're rotten to the core, you're deceived. Sometimes I feel bad standing up here because I understand myself. I understand that outside of the grace that God has given me, there's no hope for him. And so for you today, it just may be that simple acknowledgement that I'm yours. Here I am, and I want you to be Savior, but I want you to be Lord. I want you to lead me in the way that gives me life. And everybody else in this room, here's the simplicity. There's things in you that are hard and unbroken. And I believe, while I've been speaking, there's some things that God is just pounding on your soul. That these are areas that I want access to. It could be through confession. It could be through repentance. It could be through literally going, God, here is an area that I've not allowed you access because I've been afraid that if you came in, that you would love me. If you came in, you would accept me. If you came in, I would be hurt. And that hurt would lead to restoration. That hurt would lead to pain. And so, whatever it may be for you today, I challenge you. Yeah. Life gets harder outside of those doors. And I know this is middle school. I know this is a cafeteria. Despite the drape, this is a cafeteria. But right now, this is the place where the presence of God is. And leaving here when God's asking you to do something and walking away from that makes it harder every time. So we want to just give you an opportunity. And as the song starts, we're actually going to ask our prayer people to come at the very beginning. If there's something going on with you, it says, as we confess to one another, we're healed. These people are as broken as you. They love Jesus. And they want to stand in agreement with people. They want to receive. They want to pray over. They want to encourage. They want to empower. And the worst thing that we can do is allow fear of these people sitting in the seat near you to think that you're broken. When hopefully we're broken. I've gone up for prayer in the end of when I preached. There's nothing in here that's going to change you more than a willingness to allow God to have you completely. And so I'm going to pray. We're going to do our last song. Our prayer people are going to come up. And if you just want somebody to encourage you, it doesn't have to be like this great thing. It could be literally like, I just need you to pray for me. come up and things change when we agree together in the name of Jesus. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it is by You and You alone that You give us ears to hear. And I just pray that You would give us ears to hear You. And Lord, there's something that You want to give us that far exceeds what we've just heard. There's something that You want to give us that far exceeds our own expectations of what You desire for us. You want to give us life and life in abundance. You want to give us fruitfulness that exceeds our expectations, and that will not come without Your Word being accepted fully and completely in us. So Lord, if there's people in this room that haven't said yes, haven't submitted to You, Lord, I pray that You would make this the most beautiful day of their life. And Lord, for all of us that are in this room that are allowing brokenness to stay there because we're afraid, Lord, I pray that we would allow Your Word to take its fullness in us. And Lord, You would bring us to a place of fruitfulness, that we could see You, Your hand, and Your presence moving in and through us, not just on Sundays, but through every day of our life. And so, Lord, right now, we just give You this last 3 or 4 minutes, Lord, that You would be honored, that You would be lifted high, Lord, that You would hear our voices, and Lord, that You would transform our lives. We just pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.